Today, I'm going to talk about family. You know, coming home from work after being out in the world all day, it's relaxing. You know, at my home, I can control what goes on and everything. I feel safe there. I feel secure. I'm around family. That's the same feeling I have when I come to church, when I come to be here with you brothers and sisters. I'm around family. And you know, we are all family here, those of us baptized members into the church. And we are also children of God. Now in John chapter 1, at verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." In 1 John chapter 3, it says, in verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him." You know, Romans 8 and 14 says, "As many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." And let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. I want us to see this here, starting at verse 26. And it's talking about us church members. It says, "For you are the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." Now, you know, another reason why I like coming here, and especially here in Buchanan is where I live. You know, I've never felt as though somebody was judging me because of my color. I've never felt as though somebody was judging me because of my status, how much money I have, or anything like that. And that's the way it should be when you come to church, when you come to be with your family members. It should be that way. I don't feel that. I feel comfortable when I come here. And I know that everybody that's here is brothers and sisters to me. And that's something that you just don't find out in the world today. Out in the world, they judge you for everything. If it ain't your color, if it ain't how much money, it's what kind of car you drive, it's what kind of house you have, whether you rent or whether you own. It's always something. But in here, we're all the same. Christians, children of God. You know, the world was supposed to be holy to God from the beginning, by the way. And God set it up that way. Let's go back to Genesis. And I want to use Genesis chapter 2. And we know, just to kind of skip through some of it, I mean, I'm assuming that everybody knows it, but if not, you could read chapter 1 of Genesis, where it talks about how God created the world and everything in it. In chapter 2 of Genesis, starting at verse 7, it says that, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils gave him the breath of life, and man became a living being." The second thing God did in verse 8, it says, "The Lord planted a garden in eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." So we have the Lord created man and gave man a home. In verse 15 of chapter 2 of Genesis, it says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it." So God made man, God gave him a home, God gave him a job. And then we drop down, then we go to verse 16 and 17, and it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day that you eat of it, you will surely die." So God had gave man rules to live by. And then if we drop down to to verse 21, it says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib in which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." And this is the verse I like, because this is the one when me and my wife was married, the preacher asked us to give a verse, and this is the one I used. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So the Lord created the world. The Lord created man. He gave man a home. He gave man a job. He gave man rules to live by. He gave man a wife. And in chapter 4, starting at verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, and this time his brother Abel." So, in the order that God would have us go in, it's man, job, laws, wife, children. But that's not the way it goes on today. You know, it's everything. Children might be first. I mean, you got man and woman, of course, but marriage is usually last, if not at all, in the grand scheme of things. And then we wonder why the world has gone the way it has. I'm guilty of that myself. I do have 3 kids that were born out of wedlock. And I must say, becoming a Christian and the more I learn about God's word and everything, I learn how badly that was. I got to see those 3 or go through things that they probably would not have had to go through had I done things the right way myself. And so I'm not sitting up there saying I'm holier than thou at any means. But what I am saying is, though, that's part of the reason why the world is the way it is right now. You got babies raising babies. You got people out there doing whatever they want to do. You got guys who are living off women, no job. No rules, no morals. The world moved away from God's plan. Like I said, look what happened. And look at the Israelites, God's people. He took them from harm's way. The Israelites, if we remember, they were in Egypt, and they were being treated very badly. And the Lord brought them out of that mess. He separated them from the rest of the world, as a matter of fact, putting them out in the wilderness. And the Lord fed them, according to Exodus chapter 16, 11 and 12. He gave them water, according to Exodus chapter 17. He taught them how he wanted to be worshipped. Now, that's a big one right there. He taught them how he wanted to be worshipped. The same way he taught us how to worship him. And he also gave them laws to live by. And you can find those from Exodus chapter 20 through Leviticus. He taught them how to deal with diseases, which foods to eat, and how to treat each other. You know, the Lord did all of this out of love. These weren't commandments and stuff like that was supposed to make everybody cringe and not want to do it. These were things done out of love. He was trying to teach them how to be the people that he wanted them to be. He also, like I said, when it came to diseases and stuff, he taught them how to make sure that that stays outside of the family, that that doesn't spread. And of course, like I said before, which foods to eat. God knows best, and his wisdom is always well above ours. You know, we don't always understand why God does things, and they may not have understood what God was doing back then when he gave them all these rules and laws, not completely, but we do now. He prepared them to enter a land flowing with milk and honey. He said that in Exodus 3, verse 8. Our Father gave them everything. Everything. Just think about it. And not only everything, but the best everything. Manna from heaven. You can't get better food than that. And if the Lord gives you water, you ain't going to get no water purer than that. And he gave them everything. He even put them in the promised land, as he promised. Because the Lord does not lie. He keeps all his promises. And let's turn to Judges real quick. Chapter 2. In chapter 2 at verse 7 it says, "So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done in Israel." And then if we drop down to verse 10, "When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals." You know, the minute we get away from some strong leadership, strong parenting and stuff, everything goes awry. You know, just like college kids, you see that happening right now. When they're home, acting, hopefully acting decent and everything, but when you see them in Florida or some of those other places at the spring breaks, I mean, I would probably, it would probably make my head blow off if I had a daughter doing some of the things that they do there. But yeah, strong leadership. And as parents, we hope that we've taught our kids enough so that they can carry on what we've tried to teach them. But even with God, that doesn't always happen with his people. God, as a loving father, punished them, and when they repented, he would help them. You'd also see that all the way through Judges and the rest of the Old Testament, for that matter. Over and over and over and over again, he would save his children. I thank God for his love for us. And you know, we all know this familiar verse. It's in John chapter 3. I'd like to read it just to make sure I get it right. In John chapter 3, starting at verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." God loved us so much. And, you know, he was talking in Sunday school, he was talking about, you know, making sin and even sins that we don't know. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Some of the things that I've done in my past, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus, I would be in some serious trouble. And I can't speak for everybody, but I think we all might be able to say that. And at the end of that verse, it says, verse 17, it says, "But that the world through him might be saved." And how can one be saved, you ask? If we look back up in the same chapter, Jesus said in chapter 3, starting at verse 3. It says, because he was talking to Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, or correctly, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, another familiar verses, and starting at verse 36, it says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is changing our ways, changing our mind, changing our thinking, getting out of this worldly thinking and getting into spiritual thinking. That's when Jesus was saying in John chapter 3, when he was talking about the water, being born of the water and the Spirit, he's talking about being baptized, going down the center, coming up different, coming up a child of God and having that Spirit ruling over him, God's word, instead of letting the world tell him what to do. A changing of the heart or the mind, thinking spiritually, is what we should do now as Christians after we have been baptized members, thinking on a spiritual level. And again, like I said, where do you get all that from? You get it right here in God's word. God tells you what to do. He tells us how we should act. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8, it says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't stay in the worldly ways. You can't keep having the worldly thoughts and doing things worldly. You have to start becoming spiritual. And that doesn't happen overnight. You know, I didn't learn to stop doing everything overnight. I had to start reading God's word. I had to find out. You know, we're not, the minute we come up from that watery grave of baptism, we don't all of a sudden have all the knowledge that we need to know. So we're going to still stumble. We're still going to fall every now and then. But it should be less and less as we mature in God's word. And it goes on to say in verse 12 of Romans, same chapter, it says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, a lot of people talk about how you can't. A lot of people talk about, well, the devil made me do it. I can't help myself. Well, you can help yourself. All you got to do is think about it. You know, a lot of times we go into stuff without even thinking about it. But when we become Christians, we should have a better thought process before we do stuff. And if we need to think twice about it, we should. Because sometimes things sound good. And I hear a lot of preachers, and I hear a lot of other people out there, and what they say sounds good, it sounds great, but it's just not right. It's not God's way, it's man's way. And see, when we start getting man's mind and we start thinking like man, then we get away from God. They won't allow a lot of mess into the church these days. A whole lot. I'm not going to go down the list of things that they want to do. But they do it because it feels good. Because they think that's what God wants. Without going by what thus saith the Lord. And they're allowing all kinds of things to happen in the church. And people are doing it, cheering and clapping and everything else. And they go right along with it because it sounds so good, but it's just not. In God's family, we follow God's will. We support one another. We love one another. We help one another. And you know, every one of us in here, including myself and my wife, we all have health problems right now. We all need one another. We all need one another's prayers. We all need one another's support. You know, when there's times of sorrow, we need brothers and sisters to stand by us and pat us on the back and hug us and tell them it's going to be all right. That's what this family is, by the way. And that's how we're supposed to be as family members to one another. As I said before, we're all on the same level. Nobody's higher than nobody else. The preacher ain't higher than nobody else. We're all on the same level. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, brothers and sisters with Christ. You know, when one is sorrow, we sorrow with them. And when one is happy, we're happy for them. You know, because we love one another. And that's how it's supposed to be. Loving one another. I may not have that situation, but I'm happy that you do. And if somebody's in sorrow, I'm sad about that too. I may not have that situation, but I'm sad for the people who are in that situation. You know, one good thing I know that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ is we have God's ear. It says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's because, you know, and that's the great thing about being a Christian. That's the great thing about being a Christian is because God hears us. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says, it talks about confessing your trespasses one to another, praying for one another, that you may be healed. You know, Julie, she texts us all the time about various members or family members in the church or friends or family members in the church. And, you know, the minute she does that, I start praying. And that's one of the good things about being in a church family. We have that network where we can call everybody and we can have them pray for us and we can have them be there for us and understand what's going on. Being part of God's family. It's a great family to be part of. Sometimes I don't understand why everybody's not rushing to be part of that. But there's so much corruption in the world. So many things that want to try to beat you up and take you away. And when the world beats you up throughout the entire week, and some of your earthly family tears you down, we have God's family. And we have God because we're Christians. We live by the Spirit. We don't live by the world. We try to go by God's word, or we go by God's word. And we're part of God's family. I bet you each one of us can think of a time when we prayed or had God pray for us, had the family members in this congregation pray for us, and God answered the prayers. Now, I'm not saying God's going to answer. Well, God does answer every prayer, by the way. May not be what we want it to be, but it's always answered. And we got to understand that his wisdom is much greater than ours, and his understanding is much greater than ours. So when he tells us no, or he might say right now, or whatever, it's because His wisdom is higher than our wisdom. His knowledge is higher than our knowledge, and he only wants to do the best for us. Now, I don't know if there's anyone here who may not be a member of Christ's family, but you know, you're missing out on a lot. You're missing out on a loving family. You're missing out on all the support that you would get from family. You're missing out on being able to talk to the Lord and have him answer you. I wish everybody who's hearing my voice today would come and be part of God's family and come do what he says. You know, you're listening to God's word and you understand God's word. Then that ought to cause you to repent. You know, the longer that I, when I first started studying God's word, I would sit there and look at some of the things I'm supposed to do, and I kind of shake my head. But that's because I didn't understand. But as I started studying his word even more, I started understanding more and started doing more and started understanding what God likes and what God doesn't like. And I've seen God work in my life, in my wife's life, in my family's life. It's hard for me to sit up there and go any other way but his way now. And all I can say, like I said to those who have not become baptized members of the church, is why won't you come and be part of God's family? You know, after you learn and after you've heard God's word and believe it, because when you believe it, that causes you to repent. And once you repent it, then you confess Jesus as the Son of God, the one that God sent down to bleed and die for our sins. And then you go down in that watery grave of baptism, coming up a new creature with a new mindset, with a new heart. See, because when you go down there in the watery grave of baptism, all that sin that you've done in the past, that stays. That's dead. When you come up, you're a whole new person. You have a clear conscience. You could do things differently now. And you could be a child of God. I just wish everyone could just think about this. Think about what I'm saying. Study God's word. And you'll see that that's the best way and the only way to go if we all want to get to heaven. You know, I was telling my wife this morning, when it comes down to heaven and hell, the more I study the Bible, the more I can't understand why people won't come to the church. I can't understand why so many people accept going to hell. And I can't understand why people just won't open this book and look for themselves. There's so many people being fooled these days. There's so many people being told, all you got to do is confess Jesus. All you have to do is say, I'm going to let Jesus into my heart. Or you might say some sinner's prayer. You do something else, and they fool you into believing that you're saved, but you're not. And until you do, thus says the Lord. You won't find a sinner's prayer in the Bible. And you won't find a lot of things that they preach in the Bible. And some of the things that they do say in the Bible, they say amiss because they use the verses in the wrong way. But please, please think about these things, brothers and sisters. Please think about these things if there's any of you who are not brothers and sisters in Christ. And please understand that the Lord loves you and that he wants you to be with him one day. Please think about these things as we stand to sing the song that was selected for our Savior's invitation.